Check it out.
Hello, and welcome back to episode Sweet 16 of Souls at Sundown. We have another guest on the show this episode, and guess who it is? This is probably our most VIP guest yet.
Yes.
On Souls at Sundown, I'm not going to lie. Drum roll. Lisa Hughes.
Woo! Lisa! How are you, Mom?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
No problem. We're just chilling here in the bonus room with Larry and Squirtle on winter break.
Yes.
Home for the holidays. We're truly home. Living it up.
Yeah, and we've been wanting to have our mom as a guest on the podcast for a while. Yeah. This is an idea that we've been talking about for a long time, so.
We didn't do it over the summer, even though we talked about it.
She was down to do it.
Yeah, this and so exciting. Here we are. It's finally happening. Like Lindsay said, it's episode 16. The last episode that I did was a couple weeks ago, episode 15, and it was solo, so it's nice to have Lindsay back.
Yeah, I haven't done this in a while, so. It's nice to be back on the airwaves.
Yes, this is actually our last podcast of 2016 until, you know, the new year, so. I'm excited to end it off on a nice note with my mama and Lindsay. And yeah, we're going to get into a tune from my mom's suggestion.
This was Lisa's pick.
Yes. Wider Circles from Rising Appalachia.
We are opening up.
nature's always round. Like nature's always round.
Is that your personal favorite song by them?
I have a lot of favorite songs by them, but that one is, I've been actually working with my yoga practice already, like before I even heard it for the first time. So it was really cool. And so when I was pulling in music, I thought, like, that's just so perfect. Like how we worked on today, like that whole, we have a personal ripple. Well, every thought you have, every belief you have about yourself and others, of course, it comes from inside. So if I walk by a mirror, right, do I look in the mirror and I say, oh, my eyes are beautiful today? Or do I look in the mirrors and I say, oh, where did that zit come from, right? So we talked about how, you know, you can just start that ripple by being super kind to yourself. And that ripple then extends out beyond your physical body, beyond what you think, beyond what you believe. It's like you toss a stone in the pond and there's a ripple. And that's what I hear in the song, move in wider circles. Besides me, myself, and what I believe, grow your circle to people that you don't know very well, to people that have different beliefs than you.
Yeah, I see it as that too. I see it as like extending your, I don't know, your circle of what you know or what you think you know, and extending it past your boundaries. Like, I think we all fall into repetition in like our daily lives of what we're comfortable with, you know? And so you just stay in routines and stuff of things that you want to do, and you never really like expand or go past your just designated line. Like, this is the line that I have. And we were talking too, what were we saying the other day? How like you only feel comfortable like talking about certain things with certain people. And then like, if you change environment or go somewhere different, you're like, oh, I can't, or I don't feel like I can open up to you about these things. Like, even though you can, but it's just like a personal boundary or something that you've like drawn the line with. So
yeah, I think we were talking about that. We were talking about how like I had gone from a yoga birthday party,
yeah,
where everybody's just welcoming you and hugging you, and then I went literally from there to a neighborhood party and didn't really, I didn't let that go. I just kept hugging people, and nobody said to me like, oh, that's weird. Actually, people kind of said the opposite, like, oh, we're so glad you're here, right?
Yeah.
You see me is kind of,
yeah. So you gave everybody a hug?
I did.
At the neighborhood party?
Yeah.
I was giving a lot of hugs that night too.
Yeah.
Seeing old faces. I wasn't really selective about it.
I don't understand why people are selective about hugging. Like, most of the time when I meet people, I hug them rather than
like we're huggers. Most people will definitely do a handshake, I feel like. Yeah.
It's always really awkward when somebody extends a handshake to you and you go in for the hug and they're like, oh, ah, ooh.
Yeah. But like, I feel like most of the time they're down for the hug.
Yeah. I guess.
Have you ever done the double handshake? Like, with somebody?
That's really weird.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Is it? Is it? It's too intimate.
Yeah. I mean, unless
they
like.
More intimate than a hug.
Unless you're reaching for. They're like reaching for your hands with both of their hands and you kind of like already know
that. I feel like only a priest would do that to me.
Yeah. It's really kind of weird.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to play another song.
Your silence is a curse. You always seem to break me down, down, down. My swollen heart you curve. Your comfort makes it worse. I don't want you around, round, round. Cause how is minimum?
Okay, the song I just played was "Advice" by Kehlani, off of her new upcoming album called "Sweet Sexy Savage."
I'm ready.
How do you feel about that title name? I don't really like it that much.
I wasn't like turned off by it. Yeah. I really like the album art.
Oh yeah.
I feel like it fits her, you know.
I guess.
I can't believe this is actually her first actual album, because it just feels like we've been supporting her for so long. I mean, we've been listening to her for like at least 2 years now with our friends, and Cloud 19 was her first mixtape on SoundCloud.
Yeah. Incredible. And then "You Should Be Here" right after that, which literally got nominated for a Grammy, and it was a mixtape.
Yeah, like it wasn't even an album.
Jinx. But yeah, so I'm really excited for her. I think that she's gonna take over the world. How would you describe Kehlani's music? Because I describe her as R&B/soul. And
I always just tell people, like, she can sing like an angel, she can rap, and she can dance.
I know, but I'm asking the genre. Like, what would you describe her genre as?
I would say R&B or hip-hop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that too, but I don't think a lot of people see her as that, because I guess she's on the radio and like a pop princess or whatever. So yesterday I was playing her in the car with my friend Gina, and she was like, yeah, she's definitely one of my favorite pop artists or something. And I was like, pop? Did you just call Kehlani pop? Whoop-tsh. Slapped her across the face. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. But
friendship abuse.
But yeah, we really care about Kehlani. I think she's great. And I think that she's underrated, even though she did blow up.
We talk about her so much, it's like absurd. And use her music in videos all the time.
Yeah, I have a problem. My mom
can't
just
stop talking about her.
Yeah, my mom's just sitting here in silence because she's like,
we educate people on her too. We're like, oh, you don't know Kehlani? Let me tell you.
Now
that's bae.
I have introduced so many artists to Kehlani, or so many, not artists, Uber drivers to Kehlani.
Yeah.
Anywho's. Mom.
Sorry about that.
I have a question. Who's your favorite artist of all time that's a woman?
I really enjoy women that have a really different sound, so there's a whole group of that, and that would be, of course, Amy Winehouse, Alanis Morissette.
Nora Jones.
Those are some good choices.
Nora Jones.
Love Nora.
Absolutely.
Tracy Chapman.
Yes.
Joni Mitchell, all the classics. I would like to play those artists in this episode, honestly,
yeah,
if you're down.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask my mom what her favorite songs from each of these artists are. Ooh. What's your favorite Amy song?
I don't even know what mine is. Just the whole Rehab.
Mine's Halftime.
Era. It's a Donny Hathaway song that she does.
I have that one. I know what you're talking about.
We'll find it and we'll play it.
You got a friend. Cause oh, we changed in our endeavors. I found we still have something. Not any strange and wonderful that we're still friends. We're still friends. Through our hearts, we never parted. Friendships are, and the way we are, when we're together, lest we know that we still have one another. Not any strength. Wonderful that we we're still friends. We're still friends. We're still friends. We're still friends.
Okay, that song is what my mom was talking about, the Donny Hathaway song that she covers in the movie. I think I've talked about this also on the podcast before, but if you've never seen Amy's movie, or Amy the movie, about, you know, her life and death and all that kind of stuff, you should definitely watch it. I have it on DVD and it's just impeccable. I've seen it about 3 or 4 times. Cry every time.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
good.
You got to see it over and over.
Yeah, over and over. And you notice more every time. But I remember at that part when We're Still Friends comes on in the movie, it starts with like that hardcore like piano, and then it starts playing all of these, or putting all of these images on the screen of her and Blake after they had been like, I don't even know, they just split up and all that stuff. And then she was like, no, we're still friends, and then covers that. And it just really flowed with the whole film, you know, really tied it all together. But yeah, when I think of my mom, I think of music like that, like Amy and Alanis, mostly Nora Jones.
Strong woman.
Yeah.
Actually had a period of time with,
You can't just say something like that and not have the person in mind that you had a period of time with. I really had a period of time with. I'll get back to you on that.
It will come to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we do have some interactive questions from, you know, you might know Elisa from the vlogs. You might really feel like you know the real Elisa, but do you? No, the real Lacey Hughes. We're going to find out in this episode.
We'll find out
today. I mean, in this round of questions for Lisa. So okay. Let's pull them up.
Yeah. Lindsay asked you guys to send us questions on Twitter. She had a typo in the tweet, so I made fun of her for that. It was pretty funny.
Oh, I've read the tweet over 3 times and didn't even notice. Oh, woo, the iconic Lacey
Melissa
Hughes.
Etheridge.
Dang it.
My mom just thought of the artist she was talking about. Melissa Etheridge is the name?
Yeah.
Yes? Yes. Never heard of her in my entire life.
Name 5
really?
Songs.
Really? Wow.
You're blown away?
Yeah, Melissa,
I don't know.
Etheridge is like pretty powerful.
All right, so let's get started with the questions. This one is from Victoria, and she says, hey, Lisa, when the girls first started showing interest in filming YouTube videos, were you skeptical at all about it?
Oh, wow. We were totally skeptical. Certainly, like, that was way before Megan started, and when Lindsay started, she was already underway. So there was no point in saying, you probably shouldn't do that. You probably shouldn't put yourself out there.
Yeah, I would steal your laptop when you went to sleep.
And we always talk about that as parents and say, like, had we said, oh, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't put yourself out there, that would have had a whole different outcome.
Yeah. I'm glad you held back from restricting your children.
Well, it was already underway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was already underway. What are you going to do? Right.
Yeah, I remember you guys were kind of just like, okay, well, Dad was like, we need to just, you know, read over, like, this becoming a YouTube partner stuff. And then after that, I remember when I first told you I was going to start, like, getting my first product sent to the house or something. You guys were like, what? You have to give our address to this company?
No.
So, yeah. That is kind of weird at the start, but then it starts just being, like, so normal.
And then I think when Megan got into it, Megan, you know, had somewhat of a similar platform at first, and then that branched off. Yeah, it's just been an interesting observation. So, no, not skeptical by that time.
Okay, not for Megan. You were like, go for it, girl. Okay, we have another question from @SnapCrackleChris. Who/what inspired you to begin your spiritual journey? Lisa. Mom. We call her Lisa as a joke. She's our real mom. It's just a joke.
Been a lot of questions about that on the vlogs lately.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Why are you calling your parents by Chris and Lisa? And
I don't even know why. It's like, we didn't ever, like, do that growing up. It just, like, started to be a thing that we just do. We call everyone funny names. You guys know this.
Yes. Get with the program, folks. Okay, anyways, back to the question.
What inspired you to begin your spiritual journey?
Yeah, actually, a couple things. So, like, in terms of who, I had a mentor who was also a physical therapist, but totally branched off in the whole yoga therapy realm. She actually was the integral original part of Pranakriya Yoga, which is it's a kind of yoga that came out of Kripalu that blends more of the ancient techniques. So my physical therapist friend, Marlisa, was working with Yogananda, who was a Kripalu monk for 20 years. And they really started the original yoga therapy program. So I worked with her at Body Imbalance, and I thought, well, this is really cool. Like, how you can blend physical therapy and yoga. And then I got hurt, and I hurt my back really bad. And there was a whole bunch of physical therapists around me, and everybody was needling me and doing all these things and trying to fix me, right? And I ended up going to the yoga. I ended up saying, like, I didn't want anybody touching me anymore. Like, I hurt that bad that I just didn't want anybody touching me. And so I was like, well, like, at that point, I ran, and once a week I did yoga, and I thought, well, the yoga always makes me feel good, so maybe I'll just do, what if I did like 21 days as an experiment? And of course, at the end of 21 days, I committed to a year of daily. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere in that year, I decided to get in touch with Marlisa and do the whole 200-hour program. And then halfway through the 200-hour program, decided to do the 500-hour yoga therapy program. So I did the 200-hour, the 500-hour, and my internship.
That's a lot
and
of hours.
Full-time all at the same time.
Damn. But that's what inspired you on your spiritual journey?
Yeah.
The next question is from one of our favorite Twitter gals, Tiffany Starr.
Yes.
This girl is iconic.
She really is. So she funny. Says the funniest stuff.
Tiffany, hopefully you're listening to this episode because you asked a question, but we live for your tweets. So she says, hello, Mrs. Hughes. Very proper. Appreciate that, Tiffany. Any advice on how to stay motivated and lead a more spiritually enlightened life?
Keep practicing.
Yeah, I think like, things get better in repetition and like not forgetting or brushing things under the rug. And like part of having a spiritual path or a spiritual journey is like having, I guess, something to like come back to. And even if you like fall off of the path, you always go back to it and like know, I guess, when you're more in line rather than like other days or other weeks or however long like you take off, you know?
Yeah, I think you have a set of new tools, right? And it kind of feels uncomfortable at first. It's like it's not totally me, like I'm carrying around this toolbox. But as you open the toolbox and you just start utilizing those tools, they're really quite simple. And we make things very complicated for ourselves that it has to be much more complicated. That it's like no more different than just open up the toolbox and apply one of them today or two and do it on a daily basis until it becomes your new skin.
Yeah. What's that thing that you always say? You could practice something for blank amount of hours and become an expert at it?
10,000.
10,000. When I was learning or teaching myself to do like hula hoop tricks and stuff like that, which I totally fell off on, when I first started doing it, my mom was like, just do it for 10,000 hours, you'll be an expert.
Anybody could learn a new language today.
I mean, not in a day.
No, but you could decide.
Yeah.
Or think about like how, and you guys can probably weigh on this really well, because like, I think when you're in a family of multiple siblings, right, the perception is from where you sit is that this sibling is, like in my family, my oldest sister was the smart one. The violinist as well. And then my middle sister was sort of, everybody knew, like she was the pretty one, the artistic one, and I was the athletic one. And it took a while for me to figure out, like, I can not only be athletic, but I can also be smart. And
beautiful.
And beautiful, exactly. Don't let people box you into a certain place, right? That because you're this way, you can't be this other way. So yeah, I kind of struggle with that artistic thing, that creative thing, because I think of artistic as more of the visual arts. And I'm super creative in the kitchen. I can play Native American flute, but you know, I'm not very good at painting or drawing or ceramics. Yeah. But I could totally suck at it and just
learn it.
Try it.
Yeah.
And practice it.
That was a very good answer. Helped you out, Tiffany, and all you guys listening. This next question is from Maddie Laura, and she says, favorite thing about each of your daughters and their pups. Look well, how cute.
Maybe I'll start with the pups.
Yeah, start with the dogs. That's easier.
My favorite thing about Larry is his his size.
Great size.
Yeah.
When he's tired.
Great size, and he's just very curious. That's probably what I love most about Larry. He's just super curious, and his voice.
Oh, yeah, he is very vocal. Singer. He was singing with us today.
Yeah, we sang together today. And I noticed that, like, in his dog way, he actually says out, and he actually says Squirtle.
How does he say Squirtle?
Yesterday, I was hanging out with Larry, and there was another dog with me, too. His name was Blue. And I put my arm around Blue, and I go, Blue, you're my best friend. And Larry looked at me and goes,
oh my god!
Literally right after I said that, and he was like, Mom, what the hell?
Yeah, he's funny with his little voice.
What's your favorite thing about Squirt?
Squirtle, I gotta go with the snuggles.
He is such a good cuddler.
The snuggles, he really and, like, is. The real human emotions, the tears and the whole, yeah.
He's all very, he's dramatic. He's just, yeah. He shows his emotions a lot.
Yeah. And then for daughters? My girls, I would say for Megan, like just a deep level of realness and many, many, many layers that just continue to evolve. That's the kind of thing that I think is so cool. I think Megan doesn't do one thing. Like every time I look, it's like she's got her hand in something else. And let me learn about this and let me learn about that.
Thanks.
So I really love that.
Woohoo! Shout out to my mom.
So for Lindsay, I think it's more about a deep sense of spirituality that, well, right now is really just emerging in a whole different kind of way. To me, it's been very, very beautiful to watch all of my kids become adults. And so I feel like with you, Lindsay, I feel like there's this whole big piece that's just sort of coming together. It's just beginning to emerge now in your ability to connect with family and friends and the way you treat people, the way you treat your grandparents when you visit. And there's just a respect there and a beauty to watch you connect with your grandparents especially.
Thank you. Ellie says, Lisa, wow, an iconic woman. How did she pick your names when you were little babies?
That's actually pretty funny.
Well, tell the viewers, the listeners.
Lindsay was going to be Brittany. I had Brittany on the brain, and as happens when you're pregnant for 9 months, you get really tired of a name that you start out. So thank goodness, because then the whole Britney Spears things came about, and it was like, oh, wow. People would have been very tired of that name. So Brittany canceled. Evolved into Lindsay, and then we couldn't think of a middle name. I thought, well, I'll just go to People Magazine because it's all about people and there's cool names in there. And that's how we got Caroline. I was reading a story about Caroline Kennedy. I was like, oh, Lindsay Caroline. It's perfect. Yeah. And then Megan was going to be a Kelly. Or a Megan.
Or a Kyle, when I was a guy.
Kyle, yes. I definitely thought you were going to be a boy.
Me too.
And
I'm kidding.
Dad thought you were going to be a girl. And then Dad said, well, I never get to do the names, so I really want to do the name. So you're about ready to come out and, like, it was just, you know, orange hair. And Dad was like, it's Megan.
Wait, when she was literally coming out of you?
Yes.
That's when you decided. You didn't have it finalized before that?
No, we didn't. Because we didn't know Megan. We didn't know she was going to be a boy or a girl. We knew you were going to be a girl.
Megan was a surprise when she came out. You're saying?
Yeah, we didn't want to know
sex
of thing. Yeah.
So what did her room look like and everything? You didn't buy any clothes. You didn't have a baby shower.
No, because in New England, you only have a baby shower for the first baby. Oh. It's a Southern thing to have a baby shower for every single baby that comes along.
I feel like it's also probably like a newer thing. I feel like that's common now. It's like whenever you're having a baby, you have a shower.
Who knew? I didn't know any of these facts.
What the heck? That's really weird that you didn't even know until she came out that she was a girl.
Yeah, you were going to be Kyle Robert.
So you told us, like, me and Colin, we're going to have a new little sibling, but you didn't say a new sister or brother.
And Elizabeth came from your Nana. First name was Elizabeth.
Wow. The more you know, folks. Okay, before we take more questions, I do want to play one more song.
house, walked up the stairs, and I opened your door without ringing the bell. Walked down the hall into your room, where I could smell. Without permission, shouldn't be here. Would you forgive me, love, if I hadn't seen your shower? Would you forgive me, love, if I laid in your bed? Would you forgive me, love, if I stayed? Took off my clothes, put on your robe, and I went through your drawers, and I found your cologne. Went down to the den, found your CDs, and I played your Jolene. And I shouldn't stay. Sat on your lips. It said, "Hello, love. I love you so, oh, love. Meet me in me."
We have returned once more. That was Your House by Alanis Morissette. Sometimes people call her Alanis, and I'm like, what? Is that, that's not how you say it, I don't think. But I'm not really sure. I don't think it is.
No, it's not. It's Alanis, but I think because she came from Cambridge, it's just kind of a Boston thing.
To call her Alanis?
Yeah.
Sounds like Atlantis.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, that song is one of my mom's faves, she said. That's why we threw it in there. And also, I'm pretty sure on either like the Jagged Little Pill album or something like that, it comes on randomly at the end of another song. It takes like a long pause and then it has it attached to it. I forget what the song is, but that's great. That's like the shorter version of just that one song. But yeah, it's about her going into like some man's house while he's not there doing creepy stuff. But we can relate. Just kidding.
After
I've never
the breakup,
done that.
Right. After the breakup, she wants to smell him. She wants to just be near his stuff.
Yeah.
And it gets to a creepy whole new level.
Yeah, where she like showers and like wears his robe. And
do you think she actually did that?
I don't think she actually did that. I think that
maybe it was a dream.
She's singing about sort of we all have a dark side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how you want to at the end of a breakup, especially if it's that profound, like you want to be in the place that you were together. You want to play his Joni, right?
Yeah.
You want to have the smell of those sheets and just be in that shower, right?
Yeah.
It's a different time.
Okay, we're going to hop back into some of these questions. Lindsay has one ready, I think.
All right, this is release her legendary twice baked potato recipe, which was released in a Vlogmas video, but this was in, I think, like 2013. So that was a really long time ago.
Yeah. And who even knows what,
right?
What
video that was a really long video anyway. But can we have like a summary of how to make
the twice baked potatoes? It's not even really a recipe because it's just, you just, the best thing to do is not microwave those potatoes. So you just rub them, you give them a massage with some extra virgin olive oil, poke them with a fork, bake them 45 minutes to an hour.
On what heat?
400.
Got it.
Wait for them to cool. Cut them in half lengthwise with a really sharp knife so that you don't shred the skin. And then once you get those two parts, you scoop out the potato pulp.
Put it in a pot.
Put it in a pot. However many you're doing, you add like some half and half, salt, pepper, garlic powder, cheese if you want. We would always do the bacon bits on the side.
For I like the bacon. It's really a nice addition to it.
And then it's just a matter of getting right like the butter, the half and half. And how much potato. You don't want it to be dry. You don't want it to be soup.
Yeah, you guys, so you basically, just play with. It's like if you
milk
don't...
Milk is fine too.
Okay. I'm going to explain what a twice baked potato is if you haven't had one, because I feel like a lot of people don't know what it is. It's just like a mashed potato inside the shell of a baked potato.
The skin of a baked potato.
Yeah.
But then you have to bake it again. Once you get all that mixed together with the cheese and everything, mm-hmm. you put that back in the potato shell and you sprinkle it with a little paprika.
A little more cheese.
Paprika.
A little bacon.
And then you put it back in the oven and bake it till it gets nice and crispy on top.
Okay, nice and crispy. How long does that take, the crispiness?
The crisping part?
10 minutes. Or you can put it under the broiler for like, you gotta watch it, like 2 minutes.
Be careful. Keep your eye on these potatoes.
Yes.
You're not messing around.
You are not messing around. But yeah, basically it's just like mashed potatoes inside of the regular potato. And it's one of our Christmas traditions to have those.
Yeah, we always have them on Christmas Eve. I was saying to Mom this year, like, I mean, it's going to be sad because Colin's not here, but he's not going to eat the rest of the twice baked potatoes in the middle of the night.
Yes.
We always have leftovers, and by the time it's the morning, it's like, Colin's like, oh, I ate four last night.
I ate four of the potatoes again.
And we're just like, he's so bad about, like, sharing food. He will never, like, leave you even, like, half of anything. He's like, I ate it. He never once in my entire life has, like, gone to, like, get food and, like, brought back food.
Oh, no.
Even, like, donated a single nugget.
No, never.
Like, he's really like, bad at that.
Or even, like, if we were talking before, when he was here, even when friends are in the house, like, he'll just go in the fridge, fix himself.
He doesn't understand. Friend is, like,
sitting there in the kitchen.
He's not a very good host. He would never be like, you guys want, like, a water or anything?
I'm kind of bad about that, but I'm trying to get better about that since I've started living on my own. When I have guests over and stuff like that, I'll always, like, fix myself a water and sit down, and then I'll be looking at them just with my water in hand, and then I'm like, wait, shit. Do you want something? I'm so sorry.
I feel like as soon as I get to someone's place, I'm like, can I have water? Because I'm just really thirsty.
Lindsay needs to start bringing over a distinct cup of her own. Because she always dirties one mug and sips out of it for just one night and then leaves it in my sink. And I'm like,
oh. It's just water.
I mean, but I reuse the same cups over and over again because it's just me, you know, drinking out of the same water thing. So she should just bring over a reusable bottle, ladies and gents. Just throwing it out there.
But it's just a mug.
Waste-free home.
It is waste-free. It's a
waste-free
mug.
Home.
That you
She's
wash.
Doing good with her reusable stainless container.
All right. I think this is going to be the finale of the questions. It's pretty good. This is from Melanie. What's it like being the mom to two very successful women, and how did it feel when they left home so young?
I really don't see my girls as different than how they are to me.
Yeah. I mean, why would you? It's like you're our mother.
Yeah, I don't see that. It's not that I'm not proud of it every second, but I don't see you'll always be Lindsay and Megan to me. Yeah, but when you're leaving so early and you have this giant passion and you know exactly what you're doing, even if you know you're just going someplace because you think it might be there, you can't help but get behind that as a facilitator. I think we talk about this a lot, like, there's a lot of ways that as a parent you can get in the way of that passion and keep your kids home with you. It can seem like it's kind of a selfish choice.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. If I keep them here, then I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Or them, like, going to the school you want them to go to.
Yeah, well, it's crazy we're talking about this. I'm sorry for interrupting, but last night I was talking to one of my friend's moms, and her son just got into the University of Oregon, which is, like, not only a great school, but Oregon is a beautiful state. I would say so much better than Georgia. No offense. I mean, I love Georgia, but, like, Oregon is great. And anyways, she was like, oh, yeah, I mean, he just got into Oregon, but we're really pushing for him just to go to Georgia State downtown because that's just too big of a move. Like, he can't do that. Mm. And I was like,
It probably also has to do with the expense.
Yeah, you have to ask, like, who can't do that? Can he not do that, or can you not do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of kids can't go to school, like, out of state, and that makes sense.
Right, from an expense standpoint, right? But that's, like, as soon as you...
No, but she didn't make it sound like it was about the money. It was more so, like, oh, that would just be way too far away from home for him. But it's like, maybe it's for you, you know?
But sometimes it is about the money, and... You know, I had somebody say to me one time, like, out of all the things that you do for a living, like, what's the one thing that you would choose if money were no object, right? Because one thing brings in a certain revenue and that has a value, right? And something else has a different kind of value, like doing adaptive yoga for Project Walk. That's a totally free service for them.
Yeah.
But it fills my heart up immensely. And it's sort of the same thing. I think you have to ask your kid that, like, well, okay, of all of these choices, if money were no object, where's your heart?
Sometimes, like, hard to know, though. Like, if you get into, like, 8 schools or something, you're like, I don't know. I'm just going to, like, go here because it seems like a fun time, I guess. Yeah. I feel like, I guess you know, though, after you tour places.
But I don't think you should go to school for the fun of it. I think you should go for, I mean, wherever is the best education. Okay. But, I mean, I didn't go to college. I can't really say anything.
Me gives college advice. Me has never set foot on a college.
You went to the College of Life.
Yeah.
And Life University.
Degree from Life University
I actually think
College
that's a school.
Of Direct Experience.
Yes.
Life University.
Isn't it here?
Yeah, it is.
My friend
Life
went
College is a chiropractic school.
Yeah, my friend went there.
Oh, that's a real
goes
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, that's funny.
Isn't that crazy?
I thought we were just
it's like really close by.
Making a joke.
It's literally close by.
LOL.
I'm for the College of Direct Experience.
Yeah. Wow.
To the best way that can serve you.
Thank you so much. I had no idea. Yeah, but a lot of you actually always ask me, like, how do your parents feel about you not going to college? How do your parents feel? Or a lot of questions I get is, how did your parents let you graduate early? And I was like, well, my mom was the one who brought it up to me in the car. Like, we were literally driving, and I remember Lindsay was, like, already living in California and had been for maybe a year, and we got on the topic of her, and she was like, yeah, I just wish Lindsay, like, finished school early so she could have, you know, delved into all of these things she's doing so much earlier. And this is when I was, I think, either a sophomore or end of my sophomore year or something, or maybe, like, the beginning of my junior year. Either way, it was kind of early on before I definitely was, like, on track to, you know, graduate or even had the idea. But my mom was like, I just wish that she graduated early. And I was like, well, Mom, I'm in the same level classes as Lindsay, and I'm going to be taking the same exact classes. Because at our high school, if you do the work program when you're a senior, you're only at school for 3 hours a day, which is literally such, like, a waste of time. It's like, why even go? You know, if you're not doing 7-hour days, I don't see a point in it. So we just sped up the process. And I felt like my parents kind of always supported the idea. The whole, like, moving across the country to California thing came after that. Because I remember I, like, kind of sunk that in after.
You're like, I'm leaving.
Yeah. I always had in the back of my mind the idea that I was going to, like, move to California and wanted to live with Lindsay. But I never, like, threw that on them ASAP and was like, so this is the plan, you know? Just after some family dinners. I remember the first one where I was like, so, no offense, but I'm trying to get out of here. And my dad was like, no, I don't know about that. Like, I don't really... No, it's just on track to graduate early, and then we'll figure it out from there. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? Just stay in Georgia and twiddle my thumbs? No, I'm going to leave. So, yeah, that's what I did. And then they let their free bird fly, as Lynyrd Skynyrd would say.
Oh, my God. She left the nest.
Yes. And things have been uphill ever since, I would say. Also, Lindsay and I were talking about
there
this.
There were some conditions on that, right? Like, you had to have...
Oh, I had to have enough money saved up.
A certain amount of money
in my bank account to be able to leave.
To get on the plane. Yeah. Not to leave, but to...
To be able to live there.
You had, like, a vested interest that certainly nobody was funding that adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Nobody was
that
like...
We were a facilitator of that adventure, absolutely.
Yeah, they weren't like, oh, we're going to pay for your ticket. Nobody's going to like pay for your apartment, you know? Like once you, I guess it's different. It's a different situation when you're like supporting yourself at a young age. So that is also harder for me to like, I don't know, explain to people when I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I moved out at such a young age because like I could financially do that. But it's not like everybody has the option to do that and like the privilege to do that, I guess. So love life. Bless this life.
We got a little bit off the,
got a little
the
grateful.
Original question.
Yeah. We went off on a grateful tangent.
It, I think.
Yeah, but no, we totally answered it, right? What was the question? I forgot.
Like, what was it like that they left so young?
Oh, it was fine, I guess. Right? We're
She's
still
recovered.
Alive.
She sees us a lot.
Yeah, we come home.
We're such good daughters. We come home all, especially me. We come home all the time.
We're such good daughters, especially me.
I just like, I don't know. It's like, well, it's like lucky that we can visit so much, but I mean, it's good. Some people are like, oh, I haven't seen, I mean, I guess it gets different when you get older maybe, but some people are like, I haven't been home in years.
Years? I've never heard any of
No, not any of my friends, but like when you, you know, like when you get older and I feel like people in LA, I'll be like, I haven't traveled back there since I left.
Wow.
Or something.
Yeah, that would be weird for me. I mean, I always have ties here and feel like here is always home and that kind of stuff.
But also because like you just left, you know, 2 years ago or so.
But even as you get older, and that may not be so, you guys are just going to be where you are, right? I'm certainly not going to be sitting at home waiting for you to come and visit.
Right. Yeah.
You know me. I would be like, hey, I think I'm coming out in whatever.
You're coming out?
It's been too long.
After 26 years of marriage?
I'm finally coming out.
She's coming out.
Somebody, she I was telling mom this today, and Megan already knows, but somebody commented on like my recent vlog featuring my mom.
Hitting
and said,
on our mother.
Yeah. They were like, Lisa, she's so hot.
Totally my type.
Just my type. If your mom ever wants to hang out with a 28-year-old lesbian woman, hit me up or tell her to hit me up.
Yeah.
And I responded and said, she's been married for 26 years, fam. Lisa said, the lesbians love me.
I tend to attract the lesbians. I don't know why.
That's
this
so
is a big
funny.
Fan of the gays, as we all are.
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of people
why
think I'm
gay
as well,
sibling?
So maybe it's
we
just
been,
me and my
so
mom.
We would so supportive.
I know. We would have just been
maybe one of us will turn out gay, you never know.
You never know.
These boys are pretty shitty so far, Mom.
Yeah. I think it's kind of an interesting thing that we still... I'm all for, like, one being, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think we need to classify ourselves deeply and permanently is I'm male
one or the other
female, I'm this way, I'm that way. Yeah. Like that's a function to me, that's a function of the mind.
Yeah, it is.
You are
it's
love,
just grouping and like how
love
society
the one
works.
You're with.
Exactly. It's really funny that we just started talking about this because like since we do live in Georgia or, you know, our parents live in Georgia and we come back to visit here, it's always really interesting to like talk to people who you still see as like very conservative, very
did you see me getting into it at the party on Friday?
Yeah, Lindsay was getting into it.
I had like an hour long, like it wasn't even a discussion.
It was
like
a debate. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I wasn't going to bring that up, but it's funny that you were doing that because I was doing that outside with somebody else.
Wait, really? At the same night?
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to this guy and he goes, yeah, I've really gotten used to, you know, and named two gay guys in our town and was like, you know, they really introduced me to just being okay with people being gay and realizing that they're just humans, you know? You know, dude? And I was like, yeah, dude. They're totally just humans. Oh my God, that's so weird. I was just like, oh my God. But people like that, you also have to kind of reassure and be like, yes, you're saying something great and emerging from your closed-minded shell. Thank God. Yes, I encourage you. Like, rather than being like, oh, you're such a dumbass. Don't say that ever again. You know, stop.
People's opinions don't change until you know somebody that is a trans person. Once you know somebody that's a trans person, you want to know more about
their life and
their life, yeah. And you want to know more about their struggles and
yeah. There's always like one person who opens somebody up to that. So I mean, like I do applaud, you know, the gay guys in my town for doing that, you know, and being able to come out in such a weird conservative town. Even though like I do look at our town as like more forward and open minded, and there are a lot of open minded people here. But then sometimes it's like we also dig ourselves into a hole with like parental standpoints. Yes, here. Super. And I see that a lot whenever I go out with Gina too, because everybody always makes comments about her hair. And because Gina has like this rainbow colored hair and like it's very out there for suburbia, but like in downtown Atlanta, everybody dresses like that. Everybody is like super hip and like wears whatever the hell they want. And we were at the like this thrift store the other day, last night, and this guy who was running the store looked at Gina and was like, "Oh, wow, very daring hair there. What kind of a statement are you trying to make with that look?" And she goes, "I'm not really sure what statement I'm trying to make, sir. I just really liked the color." And he goes, "It's so cool that we allow you guys to do stuff like that nowadays."
Someone said that to me when I was in Ohio the day after I dyed my hair purple, and it was very purple. But a man at like Waffle House said something exactly like that to me. And it made me feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He was like, "Wow, pretty crazy out there hair," but like not in a good way.
Oh, no. Like they're just speaking out of their ass at that point. And you're like, well, all right, moving on. You got to deal with a bunch of dumbasses
like,
every day.
I would never say like that to someone, no matter
exactly,
what.
But it's like, it's, you know, because you don't think that way. Like, you don't understand it and you don't know how to respond. So you're just like, okay, gonna respond as nicely as I can and move on. But yeah, I always see it more whenever I'm like here or something or talking to a parent or, oh my gosh, the parents who ask me about like what I do now. And they're like, "Oh yeah, you do that Instagram thing." Like, it's like, you know so little, but like you still bring it up.
They still
and like
know of it though.
Yeah.
It's like them just wanting to
know more. Yeah, I know. But like the questions are just like, so it's just absurd. But yeah, you got to deal with all the things. I guess that's our rant over.
Yeah, we really went on for a while.
Yeah.
We answered all the questions.
Yeah. And this has been about an hour up until this point. So I think that we're going to kind of round this out, I guess.
Yeah, maybe play a couple more tunes.
Yeah, well, it's going to be
sing? Are we going to do some caroling?
No, I would say we're not going to do that on the episode, just to spare your ears. But
yeah,
I
might turn it off at this point.
I am going to, after we sign off and everything like that, I am going to play an hour and a half long like set or 30-minute set, so it equals out an hour and a half long episode. It's not going to be just like an hour long. And yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you got to be on the last episode of 2016, Mother.
Yeah,
this is great.
Thank you for having me. That was
no problem.
Really, really a special invitation, and really enjoyed.
She got the
it.
VIP invite. I'm just kidding.
I enjoyed the questions.
Yeah, thank you guys for asking. We always love when you're interactive.
That's probably my favorite part.
We love you guys. Thanks for always being there, always listening.
Yes, thank you for listening to, you know, if it was just like a few episodes this year, all of the episodes, it really is appreciated.
Yeah, and I know that we weren't always on track with our schedule on this, so it's really nice that you guys also just kind of sit there and,
but still.
And still listen or still wait for more episodes and still support us. So I really enjoy you guys, and I'm glad that you enjoy the episodes. And if you did, please give us a little like on SoundCloud, a little repost if you enjoyed it. Also, if you're listening on Dash Radio, shout out to you as always. You're an OG, and we love you dearly. And I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. This is going to be airing on Friday, I believe. So it'll be right before Christmas and Hanukkah and all those things. So happy Holidays just to all of you people who
celebrate
anything.
Thank God 2016 is over.
All right. We're going to keep talking if we don't end this now. So let's just get into the tunes. These are all of the tunes that remind me of my mom. Okay. Have a great day. Woo. Bye.
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 Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper? Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper? While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds dismal. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? People gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, run.
Mama. Tell me where the mind fell off and the body slowed. Creatures running round the field off into the woods. My body wants to follow, but I really don't think it should. I don't know.
Jump, you will not fall. Go on and spread those wings of reason. We are water after all. And if you call on me, I'll come running like a coyote. 'Cause we're lighthouse when you're out to sea, a beacon when direction's all I need, a compass if you know what I mean. Drunk on that nectar of all that you are to me. And you can trust me and my instincts, 'cause they are like that of a bird. I am loyal, I will feed you, sing you songs you never heard. Who wants to wear the hat this morning? I reckon neither of us cares, 'cause
'Cause there is more to life than leading. Yeah. And I would follow you, I swear. And if you call on me, I'll come running like a coyote. 'Cause we're pillars indeed. A lighthouse when you're out to sea. A beacon when direction's all I need. A compass if you know what I mean. Drunk on that nectar of all that you are to me. Proper way to pay respects. Lay tobacco down in gratitude. Yeah, one thing I cannot neglect. And there are eyes that watch us closely. And there's a story they will tell. There's a war between fact and fiction. Yeah. We have no time to dispel. So familiar yet so foreign. Polaroids say so much. Bring me ceremony, parallels. I'll bring vetiver and sagebrush. And if you call on me, I'll come running like a coyote. 'Cause we're pillars indeed. A lighthouse when you're out to sea. A beacon when direction's all I need. A compass if you know what I mean. Drunk on that nectar of all that you are to me. And I love your feet for how they found me. And how they walked upon four winds. Be my deer, I'll be your meadow. Come graze upon bare skin.
So I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. When the big black horse said, look this way, he said, hell and day, will you marry me? But I said no. Forgive me after all these years. Ooh. Ooh. So I sent it to a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh. Ooh. Now I won't come back 'cause it's all so happy, and now I got a hole for the world to see. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
And begin to dance the song until it ends. We are winners, champions of the light, forming in numbers and might. Keep the truth close inside.
Medicine woman, medicine man, walk in with grace. I know your face and I trust your hands. Medicine woman, medicine man, walk in with grace. I know your face and I trust your hands. Find your teachers in the voice of the forests. Unplug, you can't ignore this wisdom of the voiceless. Remedies are bountiful and surround us, from the garden to the farthest prayer made of stardust. Find your healing in the music that calls you, the voice that enthralls you. What do you belong to? Eyes up, the setting of the sun. Give thanks to each and everyone. The lesson is the medicine woman, medicine man, walk in with grace. I know your face and I trust your hands. Medicine woman, medicine man, walk in with grace. I know your face and I trust your hands.
Then extending my trap strip back into the messages and action. The art is feeding, stop stuck to disbelieving, cause the garden holds the shards, the medicine is in the seeds. When we hold tight to our right to protect, and we know our might is tenfold in connection. Our elders hold them bright lights, we protect them. The medicine is evident, the wolf, the hawk, the bear clan. We hold tight to our right to protect, and we know our might is tenfold in connection. Our elders hold them bright lights, we protect them. The medicine is evident, the wolf, the hawk, the medicine woman, medicine man, walk in with grace. I know your face and I trust your hands. Medicine woman, medicine man, walk in with grace. I know your face and I trust your hands.
Thank you. Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. And I won't make it any other way. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Been walking my mind to an easy time, my back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Well, there's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you, baby, one more time again now. Thought I'd see you one more time again. There's just a few things coming my way this time around now. Thought I'd see you, thought I'd see you.
Ticket to anywhere, maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere, any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You got a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, but the bottle, that's the way it is. He says body's too old for working. His body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.
So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. Got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter, buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. So I remember when we were driving in your car. So fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. Still drinking late at the bar. Some more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better. Thought maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving. So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so you can fly away? You gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.
it's covered down. See you.